see that the man of the hour is in the green room, so we're going to be talking to him in just a few minutes. But before I bring him out, I want to go ahead and share with you the title track from his latest, The One. So here is the track by the same name, The One. And at the end of this song, we will be talking to Chris Jasper. Yay! Hey, Chris.
Hey.
How you doing? Oh,
fine.
I'm so happy to have you here on Conversations.
Yeah, good to be here.
I tell you, I don't know how I'm going to top the rest of the year. I'm starting out the first show of the season with you. I don't know how to top that.
Well, you know, I've been checking you out for the last, I guess, 45 minutes or so. I like what you're playing there.
All right. Well, that's high praise. All right, Mr. Jasper, who is responsible for the signature sound of the Isley Brothers and Isley Jasper Isley. Wow, what a career. My goodness.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where, it started off, playing actually as a trio with Ernie and Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of, grew into the role of doing the songwriting. And the more we played on the records, the more that the six of us got, that kind of chemistry going. And it just kept going after that.
Yes, it did. Boy. And the hits just kept on coming.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you guys, when you were with the Isleys, and even up until you were with Isley Jasper Isley, you guys were on major record labels, right?
Yeah, we were it was called CBS at the time when we first got with it, but then as a few years went by, then Sony bought CBS Records out, yeah.
Okay, Sony.
Yeah.
All right, so now that you are with your own record label,
mm-hmm.
Gold City Records,
mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit about the difference between when you were with a major label and now that you're independent? What are some of the differences?
Well, with a major, I can talk about my experience with Sony. They have a staff of people that promote their records around the country. So sometimes they have people in different locations, like Midwest. The West, and then they have their own specific regions that they promote the music on, and they have budgets that they grant to those people, and they're able to cover a lot of ground that way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're independent, though, you have to work a little harder, and sometimes you don't have the number of people working on your music, but
mm-hmm.
At least you have the creative freedom to do what you want to do, and that's the reason why I wanted to have my own label, is to make my music the way I wanted to make it. And
yeah.
I don't mind the extra work. I mean, I'm kind of a workaholic anyway. So, it's just that creative freedom that you have when you have your own company,
Right.
You can kind of do what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling that. And I think that's why I am so crazy about independent music, because to me as a listener and a consumer, I think I get a better product. I get more soul. I get more heart. I get more everything in music from someone who is doing it their way, the way they feel it should be done, as opposed to someone else from the outside telling them you should do your song this way. We need you in this genre or that genre, as opposed to being free to experiment with all genres.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the history of R&B is basically the history of independent music.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. I mean, Motown was independent. Atlantic was independent. Stax was independent.
Right.
Philadelphia International was independent. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the companies that started as independents. And, later on, they started to, either partnership, with majors, or sometimes either majors bought them out,
Mm-hmm.
But the history of R&B is independent music. And I don't know if a lot of people understand that. I don't know if a lot of people at radio understand that, is that you got all of this variety from independent music artists.
Yes.
I think that's what's lacking in today's music.
Oh,
that freedom to create, that freedom to do, the best that you can do and not just go after a certain pattern that's been established out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I agree with that 100%. And it's a beautiful thing. Independent music is a beautiful thing. It's all colors of the musical rainbow, if you will. So, yeah, definitely. Much better than listening to, you know, FM radio and even XM and what's the other one? Sirius? XM.
Sirius, XM, yeah.
Even, even they play a certain playlist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't hear the same variety that you hear on the independent internet, mostly radio stations. And I've been very fortunate in that I am internet based, but you can hear me on your smartphone. If you have a digital tuner, you can hear me there. You know, my podcasts are all over the place, so this interview will be heard all over. So, you know, I've been very fortunate in that way. But then, you know, there are a lot of independent internet radio stations out there. So, and I'm very proud and happy to do my little bit to make people aware of this wonderful, wonderful thing called music, you know, the variety of music. So.
Yeah, and by the way, internet music, the internet is growing, by the way.
Yes, it is.
It's, you know, it's taking on a bigger market share. So I'm happy to see that because, you know, you do get a lot more variety from the internet right now.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what the things you've done since the Isley Brothers, because you've got, you know, a pretty big catalog of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Not
to
mention all the songs you wrote when you were with the Isleys, because I'd say just about all their hits were written by you.
Yeah, you know, I started off, you know, very at a young age wanting to be a songwriter.
Wow.
I was about 7 years old, and I used to play by ear at that time, and my mother encouraged me to take lessons, and, you know, she got me with this professor at the Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, which was huge because, you know, he taught me a lot about, you know, how songs are written, how the composers would go about, you know, writing their themes and their counterpoint and the harmonies, and it really, you know, got me started, you know, with the nuts and bolts of music, you know, how it was put together, and I always wanted to be a songwriter, a composer. And so that's the reason, that's kind of my approach to the music industry when I first got into it, when I first started to be with the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I got into it, you know, wanting to, you know, write songs, and I did, and I wrote a lot of them, you know.
Yes, you
and
did.
And then after that, I just kept going, you know, I just kept doing what I've been doing. When we formed Isley Diaspora Isley, I wrote Caravan of Love, Insatiable Woman. You know, those are two big songs from there, and some other ones, too. Most, you know, most of those too, and then after that, I just kept going with my solo career and kept writing songs. And I have this latest one, The One, is my 11th solo album. You know, since IJI. So
yeah,
I've been writing a lot of music.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, to our benefit, though.
Well, thank you.
To our benefit. Okay, so The One is number 11, and there are a lot of love songs on here.
Mhm. Yeah.
That's your forte, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, I think some of the more popular songs have been ballads, you know, even with the Isley Brothers, but I also was responsible for a lot of the funk, you know.
Yes,
Live It
Up, were.
The Pride,
Fight the Power, Baby.
Fight the Power, Foot, you know, I Want to Be With You, you know, a lot of that, Showdown, you know, Take Me to the Next Phase, a lot of that had, you know, my footprint on it too. So I kind of do both things, but I think the ballads were a little more popular though.
Yeah, well, you know, I liked them. I liked it all. I liked the funk, and I liked the smooth ballads. I liked everything you guys did, basically. Basically. I'm an Isley girl, especially
Ooh.
Who's That Lady. Ooh,
yeah, That Lady. That was the first one where the three of us younger guys actually you know, appeared on covers, you know. Mm-hmm. That was for the first time. And that's what that album meant, 3+3, because it was really two groups, you know. We were a young group, and, you know, they had been out for a while. They had had some hits as a three-member group. And when we did that album, you know, that's when officially those two groups came together, and we called it the album 3+3.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't mind, I want to just go ahead and play the current single from The One, which is Still in Love. Would you like to say anything about this song before I play it?
Yeah, it has some elements in it that, you know, I've done in some previous songs, you know, like Lover's Eve and Highways in My Life, you know, where I started the song off with a piano solo, and just to set the mood, you know. And then Still in Love drops into that, you know, classic R&B kind of groove after that. But it's one of the musical elements that I've used before, and I wanted to show it on this album. And also, you know, lyrically, you know, it's about, you know, a long-term relationship, you know, which I have, you know, which I'm blessed to have. You know, I've been married for 31 years.
Wow.
And it's kind of that's what the song is saying. You know, we met and I'm still in love with you. And like I said, it has that classic sound to it.
Okay, this sounds like a wedding song or anniversary song.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take a listen and we'll be right back to chop it up some more with Chris Jaster.
Still in you. The promises we made are forever, and we'll always be together. Hey, 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 hey,
still in love with you.
Still in love with you, baby.
Oh, I'm still
in love. In love with you, girl. I know I found the right one. I love the way you walk. I love your thoughts. I love the way you talk. The way you dress. I love the way you make me feel, baby. I love everything about you. I just can't wait for every day to begin. 'Cause that means we can experience each other all over again.
The promises we made are forever, and we'll always be together.
You've got a lot of inspiration in 31 years, huh?
If you know it.
You know, I heard you doing an interview. I don't know when you actually did the interview, but I heard it not that long ago, where you were talking about the synthesizer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How that kind of changed music for you. Can you
tell us a little bit
about that?
Yeah, it changed kind of the record industry, period, you know, because before the synthesizer, there was more use of the orchestra, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the different instruments in the orchestra. And then once the synthesizer came on the scene, you could substitute certain sounds that you got from the synthesizer, you know, for say, like an oboe or French horn or even violin, you know, strings,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And it really changed the industry. It changed how we make records today, you know. And it was really great for me because, you know, being a keyboard player, you know, I could utilize all that stuff. And I studied composition and orchestration, so I knew, you know, what other instruments were supposed to play or could play. And I would you know, use a synthesizer in creating those different sounds. Like even in a song like For the Love of You, that would be a great flute line or an oboe line,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I'm playing on the synthesizer on that song. But, you know, the synthesizer, of course, could is, you know, you don't have to take breaths, you know.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's so much easier to just play it on a keyboard than to, you know, play it on a flute or an oboe.
Right.
And it's just, it kind of took over, you know, and so many people use synthesizers now.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say yes, even in live shows, which brings me to my next question. Now, you do a lot of writing and composing and all of that, but you also are a dynamic performer. Now, which one would you say you like the best?
Well, like I said, you know, even from a young age, I was, you know, kind of groomed to be a composer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's my first love, is writing new music, you know, having nothing, and then, you know, creating an idea or a seed of an idea, you know, developing that idea, you know, into a complete product, you know. To me, that's nothing more rewarding in this business than doing that. However, you know, performance, you get to play that music live for an audience and get their feedback, that immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great kind of energy that's created when that happens. And so I like that too. I like, you know, seeing how people respond to that music that I've created, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I say the number one would be creating it. Number two is performing it.
Okay. All right. So now that you have the one under your belt, are you going to do a tour?
I would love to, and that's why I'm working so hard, you know, promoting the CD, because, you know, I want people to be familiar with the songs once I play them, you know, because, you know, that helps with that energy I was talking about, you know, when
right.
people are familiar with what you're doing, you know. I don't know if I've ever done a concert where I've done something completely and totally new, you know,
no.
in the show. I don't think I've ever done that. Even with the Isley Brothers, I don't think we've done that at all.
Well, I think it was kind of hard with the Isley Brothers because, you know, you did have all that behind you and the songs were popular before you guys ever went to the stage.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Usually that's what happened was they would, you know, release it, you know, it'd gone to radio, and then, you know, radio would play it for a while, and then, you know, the tour would follow.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to set up now is, you know, let radio take it for a while, and then, you know, maybe, you know, tour later on in the year.
Yeah, well, we're going to be taking it. We're going to rock it.
Yes, that's the thing. That's the thing. And I even, you know, when we got the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, you know, I made a point of thanking radio because I know that's a key in the success of any product is, you know, how radio responds to it first. Because radio always get it first before the people even hear it.
Yeah, that's true.
And, so,
and I love that part of my job.
Yeah.
I love it.
so that response, you know, I appreciate that response so much. And I made a point of, you know, stating that, you know, so.
Yeah, that was a optimal moment.
Yeah, it was kind of unreal because here I'm sitting in the front row, and Ringo Starr is sitting like a few chairs from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember growing up, we used to listen to Beatles stuff all the time, you know.
Right.
And there we are getting the same award, you know. It was kind of of unreal.
I can identify with what you're saying. I didn't get an award, but I grew up listening to the Isley Brothers and, you know, and rocking it out with those funk pieces, and, you know, and so for me to have you here on my show, it's that same kind of thing. It's surreal.
that's great. That's great.
Surreal, baby.
Well, yeah. I appreciate the fans, too, the people who, you know, buy the music and, you know, give me their feedback on it, you know, and stuff like that. That's what a composer or a writer needs, you know, is that,
mm-hmm.
that feedback and how people feel about the music because, you know, music is emotional, you know.
Right,
and,
definitely.
Good music usually elicits some type of emotion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to hear back. You know, like Facebook now, you know, people can tell me what they think, you know.
Yeah.
And they give their comments, and it's just fantastic, you know.
Well, I know they're mostly positive. I know not all of them are going to be positive, but I'm sure most of them are positive because your music has only gotten better. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful with this album. They all have been positive. You know, this CD, the one. I wish I could, you know, share it with everyone. You know, that all the responses I get, but some of them I have shared. I put up. Because they're just so unbelievable. I'm like, I have to share this. I gotta let people see this, you know. Because it's just a great thing when people really, really like your music, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people really understand, you know, how a songwriter especially feels about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is something that, you know, comes from within you, you know. Is it could be an, you know, usually an experience that you had sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And when people accept it like that, it's really, really great.
Well, you know, and the other thing about that emotional piece is when you create a song, you may have one emotion behind the song. But for mm-hmm. each person that hears that song, they bring their own emotion, which may be totally different from your mindset when you wrote the song. But mm-hmm. it means so much to the person who's hearing it, you know, even in a different vein. You know, case in point, I always use Brandy for an example by the OJs. I loved that song, and it wasn't until years and years later that I found out that song was about a dog. I never really realized it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had my own emotion behind the song when I heard it, you know, so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so. The music is whatever it is to that individual. That's why it's so universal. It's a universal language because it can mean and relay so many different elements.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes,
that's
the beautiful thing about music.
And to be able to create that, oh, you are God to me.
Well, let's don't go that far. Not that far, but you know, it's really something. It is a gift, you know. God gives us all gifts, mm-hmm. and He gives us different ones. And I believe that, you know, songwriting, you know, and arranging and that kind of thing, it is a gift. And everybody can't do it. Everybody can't do it well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can do it to a certain point, but.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we all have different gifts, and I just feel blessed, so blessed that God's given me this one, you know, that I can go in the studio by myself, you know, and, you know, with an engineer, and mm-hmm. Come out with an album, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know, I can play different instruments, you know, I can play guitar, I can play bass, drums, and of course keyboards. That's my main one.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get so much out of keyboards, you know.
Yeah, you can.
And so.
Yeah.
I just feel it's just a blessing, and I'm just so thankful for it.
Well, you know, you said something earlier about that you're a workaholic.
Yeah.
But you're
I love
doing
working.
Something that you love to do. I mean, I think that is the best blessing of all, is that you get to make a living doing something that brings you so much pleasure and joy,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's not like working.
Yeah, it's you know, I the time can go by, and you know, I don't even realize it, you know, because you know I'm doing something I like, you know, I'm creating music.
I know that's how it is for me when I'm doing anything related to this radio station. It's like, okay, what time is it? Oh, it's okay. I can do this real quick, you know, and you
mm-hmm.
don't really even have a concept of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of just plug away and do what you
mm-hmm.
do.
It
all
right.
comes out good. Okay, so as an independent artist now, what do you find to be the hardest part of that?
Well, as an independent, you know, label, you know, and person who owns their own label, the hardest part is to get over to, you know, a lot of the corporate stations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To get your record on those stations. It's kind of ironic, though, because those stations, you know, that are now owned by corporations, they used mm-hmm. to be kind of independent stations at one time.
Yeah, how about that?
and they used to really, really want to be the first one to play anything, that came from Isley Brothers or Isley Death Riley, me personally, even, when I had the Superbad album out, they were, let me have it, let me have it. And now, you can't get these people on the phone sometime,
I know.
And it's ironic because
it's so sad.
Now they have different policies,
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the hardest thing. Most people who hear, especially this record, they've gone right on it, internet, a lot of the AMs and college stations, FMs, mm-hmm. no problem at all. But they,
right.
There's a certain groups, that are owned by these corporations, and they have different policies, and it doesn't make much sense to me,
Right.
But that's,
I miss the good old days when radio used to really play good music, and you could hear local artists on the radio,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the program directors could do what they wanted, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and now everything is so regimented,
mm-hmm.
That's really sad. But I'm happy because as an independent radio station, we get to do what the radio stations of old used to do. We get to, because I'm all, if you want to make my day, send me the new music first, baby.
That's what they used to say. I want the new music first. And what's happening is the independent and the internet stations are growing because of it. People are they have their laptops, they have their phones, and they're going to the alternative to internet stations now.
Yeah.
To hear the new music.
To say they are. I'm so happy
and
to
that's,
say that.
It's growing. It is growing a lot.
Yeah.
And
because
so,
I've been at this for 5 years. Well, actually 6 years this month. I've watched it grow. I mean, my listenership is just like all over the world,
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody send me a letter from Yugoslavia thanking mm-hmm. me for what I do. Because they listen to the station while they work, and they listen to it when they go home in the evenings. I was like, really? Beautiful stuff. Beautiful.
That's right. So, it's just one of those things where, people have short memories sometimes. I always say that. You remember when AM used to be huge, and WABC in particular in New York was like the biggest station in the country. Well, FM came in. And what was FM doing? They were playing new music. They were playing album cuts.
Yeah.
They were playing stuff you couldn't hear on the radio.
On the radio.
On AM.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? FM, they had a nicer signal, too, and they took over. AM, went to talk, and they went to other formats.
Yes.
And, see, internet is doing what FM used to do.
Yeah.
You see? And those corporate stations are doing what AM used to do.
Used to do, I know.
You see what I mean? It's like...
Like the dinosaur of AM.
Yeah, people don't seem to understand history. They don't realize what happened,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's why the internet is growing so fast.
Yeah, and I'm so happy I'm a part of it, and I'm so happy that I get to talk to you and play your music, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, so because you are a songwriter, I'm sure that you've worked with lots of other artists as well, haven't you?
Well, I did write a song for Chaka Khan. And produce it for her album, the CK album. It's called Make It Last. But
that's one of my favorite songs by her.
Yeah, Make It Last. That was, and I actually got to sing background with her. It was great. I played the music for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I basically have dealt with my own label for a long time. I've had other artists on my label. This young, she was young then. I don't know how old she is now, but an artist called Liz Hogue. She was a female vocalist I worked with. Brothers by Choice, that was another group, and Outfront, that was another group. They were all on my label.
Really?
Michael,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my son now, Michael, he's working on music now, and I think sometime early next year we should put, this year actually, is past New Year's now. this year he should come out with something a little later on this year.
Okay.
So,
okay. Well, you remember what I said about being first, right?
That's right. That's right. Yes. Absolutely.
Just thought I'd put that little plug in.
Yeah, I know. See, I know who plays my stuff first, so I, you know, I got it all written down.
Okay.
So, yes, absolutely.
All right. So let's play another song from the CD. Let's see. Let's, why don't we do Rock the Foundation?
Oh, yeah, we could do that, yeah.
Yeah, could have a little bit. You want to say anything about it?
Yeah, so, you know, the title comes from, see, you mentioned live performances before. The title of this song comes from a live performance. And, you know, it's like, you know, when you hear people say, well, yeah, we're going to raise the roof, you know, and all that.
Uh-huh.
You really can't do that. You know, that's not possible. But you can rock the foundation, and I got that idea from being on the side, on the wings of the stage, you know, when, say, another group was out there, you know, like we toured with the Brothers Johnson and,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Louis Johnson with the heavy bass thing,
and
Larry Graham, Larry Graham, you know, Graham Central Station. And sometimes, you know, when you're standing there, you feel you feel it in the floor, you know.
Right.
It's moving, you know. And so I got the idea from that, you know.
Okay. Well, we're going
to be
rock
funky
the
too.
Foundation, baby. And we'll be right back.
You know what I'm going to do right here? I don't want to raise the roof. I'm going to rock this place to the foundation. Yeah. We'll be right back.
can hear that live with the instruments and the guitar just going, just taking it to another level.
Yeah.
Wow. Rock the foundation.
Right.
All right. Okay, so I know that all of these songs are like your baby. I know, I understand, but what's your favorite?
I don't know. Maybe somewhere. You know, they all have their own kind of themes and musical elements and all that. It's kind of hard to pick a favorite, but. I like, you know, of course, the new single, Still in Love, that's the favorite. That's one of the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Bring It On Back is a favorite, too.
Okay.
And Man Up, you know, that's another one. For what it's saying, you know, and the music, you know. Also, Kiss Me, that's one that a lot of people like off the album, you know. And a lot of people like the Marvin Gaye cover, you know, of What's Going On.
What's going on? Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things on this album that people pick out, and I have to agree with them sometimes. You know, I even like, you know, Your Love is another ballad. You know, that's like, you know, mm-hmm. just soul. You know, just that classic soul kind of thing. You know,
and that's one of the shortest songs on.
Yeah, you know, but it has that feel, you know, to
right.
it. And I did it that purposely because, you know, once you have a certain flavor,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes, you know, when you, sometimes you have a certain food, you know, you want it just to, just taste that, you know, don't
yeah.
add anything else to it, you know. and that's kind of how I felt musically with that, you know, even though it's short, it still has a kind of, that classic R&B flavor to it, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so we do want people to purchase the one. So it's available at all the popular download sites, right?
Oh, yeah. iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. And, you know, a lot of people have just been ordering it from retail, too. Because, you know, like if they don't have it in stock, they'll still order it for you. So
right.
A lot of them have been coming through that way, too. So. ChrisJasper.com is the one place you can just go to find all that stuff. And it has, you know, all of my discography on there. It has the bio information, schedule, you know, whatever my schedule is, right at ChrisJasper.com, and you can get to all the stores that way, too.
Yeah, and you can even hear some of the music, it's samples.
Yes, like, yeah, one, samples, like your, yeah, you can.
Right, I like that.
Yep. So, ChrisJasper.com.
All right. And also, make sure you befriend Chris on Facebook, okay? He likes that feedback.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. It's great to hear from people, you know.
Let's give it to him. Okay, well, we've got a few more minutes in the hour, and I always like to have my guests, the first time they visit me, give a word of encouragement and or advice. So I'm going to ask you to do that too, but not right now because we're going to play another song and give you a chance to
okay.
formulate your thoughts. Because I know you are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this business called music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and do that song you mentioned, Bring It Back, Bring It On Back. Let's listen to that.
Yeah, Bring It On Back, yeah.
Bring It On Back. I like the title. Don't even have to hear the song. The title is just
yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take a listen, and then we're going to come back and get your words of wisdom.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Oh,
so like that.
Yeah, you know, it's about, you know, kind of giving a little history of R&B there, you know, in a short way, you know.
In a short way, but effective.
Yeah.
Because I heard some lyrics in there I hadn't heard in a long time.
Uh-huh. Talking about Soul Train and,
yeah,
you know, Daylight's Gonna Catch Me Up, and, you know.
I tell you, you know, good music is timeless.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, are you ready for us, Chris?
Yeah, well, you know, and I guess this is, you know, pertaining to music, you know, the thing that I'm going to say here. But the one thing I find is that a lot of times, because a person may be anxious, you know, to get into a certain business, they may sometimes step out a little before they're ready. And this is a business when I don't think you can afford to do that, because there's so much competition, especially now, when people can just, you know, put something on the internet. You know, it's, you really have to make sure that your product is at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I see a lot, you know, of today, that people just, they're so anxious to put out their music that their music may not just be there, quite there yet, you know. So I would suggest, you know, if you want to put out a record, you want to get into the industry, you know, really get some feedback, you know, from other people that you don't know, maybe, you know, just let people hear it, you know, get the feedback, make sure your production is up to you know, a certain level. You know, listen to some big hit records and see if make a comparison, you know, mm-hmm. to, you know, for your music and the big hits. See if it matches up, you know, production wise. And really be honest about that. And then also, secondly, really have either try to develop an understanding of the business side, you know, contracts, copyright law, and if you don't, you know, you should have someone that you trust that does, you know, because I find out a lot of people run into problems in that area with signing with different labels. Maybe they signed the wrong contract or something that they're not satisfied with, and end up giving up rights that they don't even know that they have. So I would suggest having someone on your side, you know, legally, that you can trust.
Yeah, that's some sound advice right there. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is geared towards the music business, but business in general,
yes,
you got to protect yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very important to not make a mistake, you know, have to correct it, you know, because sometimes it takes a lot of years to correct certain mistakes, you know.
Right.
So it's best to start off on the right foot, and if you have a person in your corner, you know, that is looking out for your interests and understands, you know, like I said, contracts and copyright law, you can start on the right foot, and, you know, things won't be so bad, you know.
Real talk. Well, Mr. Jasper, I want to formally thank you for spending this hour with me here in Conversations. You don't know this, but I always start my show with inspirational music. So tonight, all of the tracks were from you. So thank you for that as well.
Well, thank you. That's, you know, that's a big part of who I am, is, you know, those songs from Thank You Jesus, that compilation. Those are the more mellow inspirational songs that I've done. There's also some, you know, ones with a little kick to it, you know, some funk to it, and they have, you know, the gospel message too. So,
yeah, some of those, cause, you know, we like to funky.
That's a big part of who I am, and so I appreciate, you know, the fact that you played those. You know, thank you.
My pleasure. Yes. Thank you so much. And don't forget to send me your son's music when it's available.
Oh, yes. Yeah, as soon as he gets done, I'll get it right over to you.
And now you're connected to WDGP, so this is not going to be the last time we hear from you, young man.
Oh, no. Yeah, I like to come on and talk about music.
Yeah, and I love to have you on talking about music. It's beautiful. Yes. Okay, so I'm not going to hold you too much longer. I know it's the weekend, and a man like you has many things to do, I'm sure. So, again, I do so appreciate you spending this hour with me here. And you know, much continued success to you. You know, God bless.
Thank you, too, and God bless.
All right. Good night.
Good night now.